I'd like to invite you to please turn in the Bible to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Since the beginning of the year, we've been, I've been encouraging you anyway, to read along through the book of Psalms with me. And today is the day of part five, is out in the foyer or at the information center. And if you'd like to start with us reading through the Psalms, you can pick up that guide. Now, I work really hard on that, but that's not why I'm asking you to read it. I think the Psalms teaches us a lot about God, about what He's doing, can do in our life, and teaches us a lot about worship. So appreciate it if you'd pick that up and read through it. And right now, turn to Psalm 56. I'm trying to get my own Bible so I can tell you what page that is on. If you want to use the Pew Bible, it is page 517. All right, so you'd be right where we're reading. Everybody doing all right? Yeah, that's real convincing. So, hope you're doing all right. It's good to be with you today. Man, it was cold sometime this week, wasn't it? The wind blowing. And yesterday was a beautiful day, the sun shining, but it got kind of nippy out there. So glad you're in here. If it gets a little warm and you go to sleep, don't do it. Okay? I'll throw him the latch or something. All right, let's... I'm not a super big Harry Potter fan, but I know some of our young adults are and some of our students are. So I decided to lay a real good quote on you today from Harry Potter. The Order of the Phoenix, one of my favorite movies. angry Hermione looks at Ron, her friend there, the guy with the red hair. What's wrong? Hermione, okay. See, I know it so well. Thanks for helping me there, not laughing or anything, make me feel embarrassed. You're not going to believe this. I actually asked two people this week, how do you say Hermione, right? Did I get it right that time? All right, super. Well, now that we've ruined the whole experience, here's the quote. She says to Ron, she says, just because you've got the emotional range of a teaspoon doesn't mean that we all have, all right? Now, her assessment about Ron's feelings revealed one of the six basic emotions that we have as human beings. She was revealing anger. Humans also have sadness or happiness, surprise, disgust. And one that I want to talk to you today about is the emotion of fear. Now, last night I talked to the men at Memphis Union Mission. Down there they've got some life going on that you can really sink your teeth into. That's some rough stuff down there. I talked to a few of them before our meeting, before dinner and everything, and asked them, what are some of the fears that you guys have? You guys that are down on the street or guys that are in Memphis Union Mission, what are some of the fears that you face? And they told me things like, I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid that I'll make a little success in trying to overcome my problems, but then I'll fail, and then I'll be embarrassed and humiliated. Well, another guy was real honest with me. He said, I'm afraid of success. If I show a little bit of success, they're going to expect a whole lot more out of me. Now, is that honest or what? Now, some of them were saying, I'm afraid that I'm going to get out of the program I'm in at Memphis Union Mission. One guy said, I'm going to move back to Nashville, and I don't think I'm going to be able to provide for my family like I hope to. These guys were open and honest with me about their real fears. But I want you people today to be honest with yourself and with God and maybe even with me. Aren't there times when you have this emotion of fear? And fear that battles against the faith that you have. You say that you're a Christian. You say that you believe in God. You trust Him with your life. We sing all these great songs and encourage that. You read some scripture. You go to Bible study. And you're just like super Christian. Then all of a sudden you get afraid of something and your faith starts to crumble. Because that is fear and faith that battles within us. Now, I've been studying through the book of Psalms, as you know, and hopefully some of you have too. And I have been amazed at how many times the writers of those psalms describe this overwhelming fear. As a matter of fact, as I'll work through a week of chapters in the book of Psalms, it seems like the message is like the same almost every day. I have to give it a little bit of twist. Otherwise, we're going to be all depressed because David or the other writers are saying, the enemies are out to get me. People are trying to stab me with poisonous arrows. There are things that are attacking me all the time. And you could get rather depressed because these guys that were writing the book of Psalms were being honest with us. They were going through a time of trusting in God with a whole lot less experience or knowledge than we have today. They were trying to trust God. And many times they were afraid of the normal experiences that they were facing in life, and it challenged their faith. Can you get honest? Let's just start with that question today. Can you get honest today with yourself and with God that there are some times, although you try to be a person of faith, that sometimes your fear wars against your faith? Because we've got to start there. Now, fear is one of those primary emotions. It is a first response that leads to other emotions. For example, in counseling a lot of times, I will share with people that have an anger problem that maybe it really starts with something they're afraid of or something they're guilty of. There are certain primary emotions that lead us to others. And somebody who has a problem with anger, they could just be an angry person, or they might be afraid and they are reacting with anger. So fear can be a primary emotion that leads to others. And in comparison to some of the emotions we have, you know, it'd be a lot better if we could just talk about happiness and joy and love and all those great emotions. But it reminds us that fear is the negative side of our emotion. When we're fearful, when we're afraid of things, it is an unpleasant experience for most of us. And fear can be natural. Everybody gets afraid of some things. People respond to different situations, different ways, but everybody's afraid of something. Can we just admit that today? Okay? Don't start crying, men. I mean, you're among people who love you, but we don't want to get you too worked up here. It can be protective to respond to danger. It can be a God-designed emotion. Back in 1978, I moved to Fort Worth, Texas. I was hoping to get involved in the seminary there in Fort Worth. And so I worked for Fred Parker Construction Company for a while, and then I also went to work for the Southland Corporation that owns 7-Eleven. And one particular night, it started snowing in Fort Worth, which is not a normal experience there. And I was operating the cash register there in the 7-Eleven. And about 7:30 that night, everybody had been coming in all afternoon because of the snow, and they just go crazy like we do in Mississippi. They had to buy Pop-Tarts and milk and bread and everything, because you know it might snow a little bit, and if you run out of bread, you could die overnight. It's a very serious problem that we face when snow comes. And so they were buying everything in the store, a lot of people in there. And about 7:30, a guy comes in, and he walks over to the drink cabinet, brings a soda or something up to the counter, and I said, I don't know, that'll be $1.19 or something. I'm not sure what it was. And he looked at me and he said, give me all your money. He pulled a gun out of his pocket and stuck it just about an inch from my nose and said, I said, give me all your money. Now, there were six other people in the store, but nobody heard anything about this interchange except the next thing that I said, or the next thing that took place. He stuck the gun in my face, and so I obeyed him. I got a bag out from under the counter, I opened the register, and I started with the pennies. One, two, three. After about six pennies, he said, I don't want any pennies. And that was the only thing the other six people in the store heard that night. But I was so scared, I didn't try to explain to him, I don't have a lot of money in here. We're in this contest to try to keep as little money in the register as possible. When he said, give me all your money, I said, you got it. One, two, three. I don't want any pennies. So fear makes us do strange things, and it causes us problems at times. But what I want to deal with you as a Christian today is that fear sometimes can be that crippling thing that keeps us from moving forward in the Christian life because it challenges our faith. Now, we're going to get the scripture in just a second, but let me tell you this. A few years ago, The Times, a newspaper in London, England, did a survey. They asked all the respondents to tell the newspaper what was their greatest fear. Each person was allowed to list their three top fears. And they compile that, and it's kind of an interesting report. The results were surprising because it's going to blow your mind. If you think the number one fear might be the fear of death, you'd be wrong. That was number seven. A lot of people are worried about getting cancer or diabetes or Alzheimer's. So maybe you'd think the fear of illness would be the top one. But no, it was number six. What about the fear of deep water? That was number five. You're worried about floods, you're worried about rivers, you're worried about things like that? Number five. Financial disaster, losing all your income and saving. That was number four. The fear of insects and spiders. Can I get a hand raised? Okay. When I moved to Mississippi, you guys scared the life out of me about black widow spiders and what are those brown recluse things? We don't have those in Illinois. You know, that's Eden up there. But down here, you got black widow spiders. You scared me to death. I have not seen one in the 5 years I've lived here, but I'm still a little wary that I might run across a black widow spider. Number three, the fear of heights was number two, and 32% of all the people who responded listed the fear of heights as their number two. But what was number one? What was the number one fear? What one prospect inspired more apprehension, more dread, more horror than even death and illness added together? What one fear was cited by 41% of the respondents to that survey? I'll tell you later. Let's read together Psalm 56, all right? It says, "Be gracious to me, God, for man tramples me. He fights and oppresses me all day long. My adversaries trample me all day, for many arrogantly fight against me. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not fear. What can man do to me? They twist my words all day long. All their thoughts against me are evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps while they wait to take my life. Will they escape in spite of such sin? God, bring down the nations in wrath. You yourself have recorded my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your records? Then my enemies will retreat on the day when I call. This I know, God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not fear. What can man do to me? I am obligated by vows to you, God. I will make my thank offerings to you, for you delivered me from death, even my feet from stumbling, to walk before God in the light of life." Back in verse 3, I want us to concentrate today on these simple words that the psalmist writes for us, and it is this: when I am afraid, I will trust in God. Would you say that with me? When I am afraid, I will trust in God. So let's start by talking about when I am afraid. That is the emotion of fear, F-E-A-R, fear. All of us are afraid of something. Everybody in this room, there is something that you're afraid of. And even though God may assure us in his word, or we might study God's word and it convinces us that he will give us the strength to face any situation, many times we are ruled by fear rather than by faith. And the Christian life is not just one-sided. It is not just, we're people of faith and all of a sudden fear is gone. We feel like this psalmist at times. Now maybe you don't feel like people are trampling on you, but I bet some mornings you get up and you say, man, I don't know if I can face another day to go down to the office the way things are going down there. I don't know if I can go to school today and that guy that's been bugging me all the time is still going to be there, or that kid that I have to ride the bus with, or that person that I have to work with every day. Maybe nobody's trampling on you, you wouldn't describe it like that, but it is something going on in your life that you are facing this war between your fear and what faith ought to be bringing in your life. The writer of Psalms was caught kind of between two extremes. On one side, he wanted to have full faith in God, but the other side, he was just wondering, will today be the day that God doesn't show up when I really need him? Anybody ever been there? You know, I fully believe in God. He's going to heal me of every disease, but then when something hits you and you get the news from the doctor, you say, maybe this is the one time where God might let me down. I'm just not sure he's going to be with me today. And the writer of Psalms was just in that place. He sought to be faithful to God and fully trusting in God, but he was unclear about where God was all the time. So like the psalmist, we struggle. We're in a battle between our fear and our faith. Now, fear can be described in many ways. There's a lot of different words that we use, so maybe some of these will ring better with you. Anxiety, dread, doom, suspicion, even prejudice. At the root of prejudice is basically fear. I don't know that person. They look different from me. They must be different. People say they're different, and so I am afraid of them. Rather than engaging in knowing someone who might be a little different than us, we retreat into this sphere of prejudice because we've heard about those kind of people, right? Even so, some fears can be helpful, and they can be recognized as good. Your wife changes the furniture in your living room in the middle of the night while you were sleeping, men, can I get an amen? You get up at 2:30 in the morning to go get a glass of water, and you stub your toe on the coffee table or the chair or something. Fear is that thing that says, I need to be a little wary of things because I don't want to stub my toe again. Stubbing your toe is like one of the worst things that can happen, right? It's horrible. It's horrible. You want the ambulance to come and take you right away. So we need to change behavior, and sometimes pain, fear leads us to that. Sometimes danger, which is an element of fear, will cause us to escape or to fight, to flee, or to take on whatever is causing us that fear. I saw a video. I didn't really watch the whole thing because I got kind of sick of it after a while, but a video on Facebook of this lady that was standing like with a fly swatter trying to kill a spider on the wall, and she was going, you know, just smack the thing. I mean, what's the big deal? But some people are afraid of spiders. Anybody afraid of spiders? I just thought I'd embarrass you all. Okay. But danger to escape. I mean, you go places at night, downtown Memphis, where you don't need to be and something doesn't seem like it's right. That is something that God puts within you to be a little bit afraid and change to get out of that situation. That happens at times. Apprehension to avoid things. You know, fear can also alarm us, keeps us from trying something new. Some of you are afraid to really make the success step in your life that God wants to lead you to because you are afraid to try something new. One of our ladies, I noticed, just recently finished her nursing degree. She had to give up a job that she did have and take on something new and go to school and achieve and take the test. That means that she overcame some kind of fear. Every one of us is faced with some things that will cripple us if we're not willing to try something new. That's one of the fears that can harm us. Or anxiety or worry that immobilizes us. How many times have you sat around and said, no, I better not do that because if I call that person, you know what they're going to say and how they're going to react and how they're going to respond, blah, 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 blah. The monsters are never as big as we think they are, but sometimes fear will immobilize us and keep us from moving forward. Prejudice that denies God's command to love others. You know, if you're going to go through your life always being prejudiced against somebody of another race or another ethnic group or another people group, you are going to miss out some of the richness that God provides in the difference that we are to one another. But I see people, in the years that I've been in ministry and doing counseling, I've seen people caught up in some fears that I call the Nesses and the S's. You'll recognize these real easily, but it's just a way to categorize them. The Nesses are like this: darkness, loneliness, illness, sadness, strangeness. Those Nesses sometimes will make people so afraid they can't move forward, they can't get up and do what they need to do in life. Some of the S's are just words that start with S, like storms and surgeries, sorrows, sayings, things that people say about us, or even sin. Sin scares us so much that we might get involved in it. One of the things I asked the guys yesterday at Memphis Union Mission, what are you afraid of? One of them said this: I am afraid of sinning, dying, and going to hell. That is a reality of an S that we face in life that scares us. The writer of Psalms was afraid of enemies and adversaries and oppressors. I've written in some of the devotions that I'm pretty fortunate. As far as I know, I don't have a bunch of enemies out there that are trying to kill me every day. Amen? Everybody okay? Discount your own family? Everybody else is all right? Okay. We're pretty lucky in that regard. But sometimes our fears are real, sometimes they're imagined, but it doesn't make any difference. If you're afraid, you're afraid. And fear can become our enemy and our adversary, keep us from having the victorious life we talk about in Christian circles. So before we move any further, I want to make sure that you understand I'm asking you this question. What is it that's bringing you fear right now in your heart? Are you afraid of an illness? Are you afraid of a relationship? Are you afraid of what's expected of you in your job? Are you afraid of what God might require of you? Are you a young person and God's been calling you to ministry and you're afraid to say yes? Be honest with yourself. What are you afraid of right now in life? What are you struggling with that your faith is wrestling back and forth with you whether or not you're going to be able to move forward? Because all of us are afraid of something, and if it's a fear that's keeping us back, not exhibiting faith, then it's a fear that we're going to have to deal with. So here's number two. The Bible says, when I am afraid, I will trust. That's faith. Now, counselors advise us, you can read all the books on it, that if you're having trouble with fears, then you need to lessen those things that cause you to be afraid of them. For example, if you are watching the news every night and then you get afraid of all the muggings and stuff and killings that happen around, you stop watching the news, okay? Not everything, although the Memphis news stations tell us this, not everything is breaking news. Breaking news. We have rain in downtown Memphis. Breaking news. It's coming from Arkansas. Not everything is breaking news. So if that's causing you a lot of fear, how about television shows? You watch, just some show or a movie that is about death and dying and stalking and all that kind of negative stuff. Stop watching that stuff and maybe it eliminates some fears. Police or crime dramas, if you can't watch those and kind of separate yourself from them. I mean, years ago, Joyce and I worked in a church in Illinois, in Waterloo. We had this friend that was just goofy. Her name was Barb. She was so goofy that one day she got up and she had one pair of pantyhose that had a runner in one leg, another pair of pantyhose that had a runner in the other leg. So she put both of them on, the good legs, and she tied the bad legs together in the middle. And she was running late for church. So we were all, a few of us, standing out on the front porch, people coming in church. And when Barb gets out of the car, she starts booking it across the parking lot. And all of a sudden, those two extra legs fall out the middle between her skirt. And she's running, all that's flopping down there. She's just goofy that way. That's the exact. One night in prayer meeting, we're taking names for people that we need to pray for. And she stands up and starts boo-hooing and sharing this really need for prayer. And then right in the middle of it, she's got our hearts, laying down on the pews and stuff. She says, oh, I'm sorry, that's a soap opera I've been watching. Okay, put that stuff aside, all right? We're not going to pray for those people on whatever the soap operas are, or Restless Ones or something. So what does the Bible tell us to do? Well, to put stuff aside is one, but it says it in a positive way in the book of Philippians. We're told to think about things that are noble and lovely and pure. And do you know what the promise is? That if we will think about those beautiful things, those positive, those noble things that God provides in his creation, it says God's peace will come upon you. There is something, I'm not the proponent of positive thinking necessarily, but I am the proponent of thinking about the things that God has provided in our world that are positive. And when we think about those, the Bible promises God's peace will come upon us. Change the way we think. Another thing the Bible tells us is that prayer is crucial to overcoming fear. There have been many times when I've been afraid of something and I have prayed and saw God act. Just last year sometime, there was a struggle that we were having with one of the men in our church, and I knew I was going to have to talk to him, and I wanted to. He's a friend of mine, but there was some distance there, and so we set up an appointment, and I just prayed about it. I said, God, I don't want to do anything to mess up this friendship. I love this man, but you're going to have to work in this situation. And when he came in and we sat down and talked, I was so amazed how God had already put his hand on that relationship and worked the situation out. Prayer is crucial when we are afraid of things. The last one I'll mention to you is that 1 John says that love banishes all fear. I used the illustration last night with the men at the mission. I have two grandsons. And if they were caught in a building that was on fire, at first I would be afraid to run in there, but my love for them would banish all fear. Do you understand that? I mean, I don't know how well I do. I am a fat, slow guy, all right? So I'd probably find the nearest hose, water myself down, and then run in there and grab those two babies. I love them. Love banishes fear. Moms, you got that? Young dads, you got that, right? And love, many times for one another, for the things of God, for our work, for our families, will banish any kind of fear. But the essence of faith, to say I trust in God, is not just something that we work at or a habit that we take on or an attitude we change. The essence of faith that overcomes fear is an act of your will. To trust in our culture, we've got to make sure we understand it, because we talk about, I asked Jesus into my heart, or I've accepted Jesus into my heart. Nobody really knows what that means anymore, even though those are good phrases. We've got to be more real with our culture today. And this, I think, communicates better. The word trust means to commit, to believe in something enough that you will commit your life on it, to rely upon it, to depend upon it, to have faith and confidence. And when we say, when I am afraid, I will trust in God, it's got to be more than I think there's a God up there somewhere. He's living on one of those new seven planets they found this week that the news told us about. When I say I trust in God, it's got to be more real than just I got some head knowledge about some God thing that somebody told me about, or that grandma believes in God, so maybe I'll get a little bit of that. It'll rub off on me. Trust means that we have committed our life to it. It is a heart that trusts, that has confided in God enough that we really are committed to Him. So, prayer. I need to say this too, because I've gotten some emails lately about prayer. Prayer is not just us talking to God, trying to get Him to do what He doesn't want to do, but we want Him to do it. Are you with me? We got some weird ideas about prayer. Prayer may be telling God our needs, but it's more often that in the midst of those needs, He is going to shape us and change us and grow us, tell us how to be participants with Him in His work. It's not us trying to get God to do something He doesn't really want to do. God, heal my friend. Well, I really don't want to. I don't like them, and they're kind of weird. That's not how God plays this game. God says, I need you to trust me, exhibit faith, walk with me. What can you do to help that friend? How can you come alongside of them, encourage them? There's a whole lot more interaction going on in prayer than us trying to trick God into doing something. The scriptures, we can claim God's promises and learn God's ways. When we read the scriptures, a lot of people just want to say, well, God promised this, I think He needs to do it for me. When in reality, a lot of things in scripture are trying to teach you how to live by faith. We don't want to do the things that the Bible teaches us we should do in response to God. We just want all the promises and blessings. Are you with me? Sometimes the Bible says, no, you've got to live by faith, walk by faith. Singing and speaking the words of songs sometimes can help. I want to give you a little bit of comparison, because I think generations might be divided a little bit by this. One of the greatest hymns of faith that an older generation might have experienced, written by, help me with the first name, Spafford is the, Horatio Spafford. He lost most of his family, and he was on a ship going from England to America, or America to England, something, and he looked out on the waters of the ocean, and he was moved to write these words that many of you have sung in a hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Anybody heard that one before? Well, how about this one, that in a younger generation takes that same theme, and we're going to sing it a little bit later in this service. It goes like this. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Do you hear the same theme in the song that is older, a hymn, and one of the newer choruses or songs that we sing? Both generations are dealing with the same thing. Sometimes life is like an easygoing river, and sometimes it's like a sea that is billowing with waves that are trying to knock us off kilter. Both generations understand that same experience, that fear fights against us in faith. Now, how are you demonstrating faith? You know, in the book of James, he kind of wrestled with that. He said, you say you have faith, and I say, well, show me your faith by what you do. It's not what you do that gives you faith. It's not what you do that saves you. But what you do demonstrates a faith that you say that you have. So how are you demonstrating faith? Have you committed your life to live for Christ and His way? We ask Jesus into our heart, but when troubles come in and put you in a fear mode and you really need faith, one of the guys last night came up to me when I asked him about the fears that some of these guys are dealing with out on the streets in Memphis. He said, I've got an alcohol problem. I was spending all the money I could get, everything I could make, on drinking my dinner rather than eating it. That guy was real, genuine. Now maybe in this room none of you face that problem. What's going on in your life that really takes faith and yet you're demonstrating fear? Because we wrestle with it in our own lives. Last thing, the scripture we read, Psalm 56:3 says, when I am afraid, our fear, I will trust our faith in God, the faithful. Now, I've assumed that in speaking to you this morning that a person's trust is in God, but that's not always the case. I'm asking for some honesty again today. Let's talk about some things we trust in. We trust in our family. If I can't do it, maybe somebody else can. My wife's a great help to me. She's bailed me out of a lot of problems, but she is not the end of all my trust. As good as she is, she can't save me from everything. Our work, sometimes we think, man, if I work a little bit harder, I'm going to achieve, I'm going to be at the top of my game. That's the thing that's going to really pull me out of all the stuff that I'm dealing with. Education, all I need to do is get another piece of paper to hang on the wall, and then I will be cool. Everything will be all right. I'll be able to say to people that I have some smarts. Of course, if you use that word, you have just shown that you don't deserve that piece of paper on the wall. Being in the South. Pastor Kerr, you're a recovering Yankee. We're from Mississippi. Give us a break. God blesses people from Mississippi. Right. I have just stepped off into the mud there, right? So you understand, a lot of people think, I must be saved. I must be going to heaven. I grew up in the South. I can't go to hell. I can't be away from God. I can't deny God. I grew up in Mississippi, for goodness sakes. Or America. We're Americans. The rest of the world needs to get in line. We are from America. God always blesses America. Or our abilities. You know what? I may get in some hot water, but I can get myself out of it. I've been able to reach back into my bag of tricks and pull out something, and man, I can make it happen. We trust in our ability. So I don't want to assume today that everybody in here is trusting in God. So I want to admonish you to make sure that you get it straight. When I am afraid, I will trust. The scripture requires that it be in God. Everything else is going to fail you. Amen? But in Jesus, for believers, for followers, for disciples, God must be the object of our faith. And the writer today in Psalms is struggling with his faith and his fear. And Psalm 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60, those are all a little subset of special psalms. If you'll look in your Bibles, most of them have a little heading right under the title. And it'll say something like this. This is a miktam. M-I-K-T-A-M in the Hebrew, miktam. And that means that it is so important what you find in these psalms that they are things you need to etch on your heart. Man, I love that. These are miktams. I have no idea what that word means, but to etch it on my heart, I got that. And what should you etch on your heart? Don't miss this. This is so simple. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. Etch that on your heart.
That is something so crucial, so simple, that it needs to be ingrained within you. So faith wins out in the end, because this writer of Psalms says, my guys are trampling me, people are out against me, my adversaries are shooting poisonous darts at me, but you know what? When I'm afraid, I will trust in God. Sometimes it's that simple thing, that simple truth from Scripture that we put on our heart that keeps us steady. And never is faith as strong as when we put our confidence in the Word of God. So if you read through that again, notice what the psalm writer says. He says, be gracious to me, God, for man tramples me. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not fear. What can man do to me? You, God, have recorded my wanderings. You put my tears in your bottle. And I'm not a big crier. Maybe some of you aren't either. But I understand the metaphor here. That when I shed my tears, God sees it. When my heart is broken, God understands it. And he records that in his book. He remembers that. And he takes my tears and puts them in his bottle. And he remembers there are times when I am afraid. And three times, the psalm writer declares his assurance in God's word or his promises. And then he says this. Don't miss this one. This is another mictum. This I know, God is for me. That's right out of the scripture. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. Why in the world would you? Because this I know, God is for me. Sometimes when we're afraid, we think God's the enemy. The guy's out to get us. He's up there on his heavenly throne, and as soon as we step out of line, he's going to zap us with lightning. That is not what God is like. The psalmist says this, this I know, God is for me. Do I have to run down on the front pew and shout myself? That's good news. I got a friend by the name of Basil Shosan. I haven't seen him in years, but we used to be friends back when I did see him. 1994, he wrote a song that won a national award in Christian circles called Be Strong and Take Courage. And the scripture he based it on was Psalm 31. Listen to these words. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will be with you. Do not be afraid or be discouraged. You need to circle that one, my friend. Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8. Joyce and I had a good friend named Mary Hartram. Mary had cancer and fought it for years. And I remember many times she'd come to me and she'd say, Pastor Kerr, I've got the secret to facing all the times I'm afraid of my surgeries with cancer. She said, I just go and I tell the surgeon that when you wrap me up and get me ready to do surgery, make sure that you leave my right hand sticking out. I said, what? Yeah, she says, because Isaiah 41 says this, I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand and say to you, do not fear, I will help you. It worked for Mary. She made sure her hand was sticking out every time. In case God came along and needed to get her hand, he could find it. It was just a symbol of faith for her. It was a sign of trust for her. The Bible says he's going to take me by the right hand. You know what? I'm going to embarrass some of you. Would you be willing just to raise your right hand? Just to signify, say, God, when I am in fear, I want you to take my right hand. When I am afraid, I want to trust in you. God, take my hand when I am afraid. Hold on to me. Walk me through it. Take me through it. That's God. His word says, I will hold you by the right hand. We don't need to be afraid to do some of those things, to tell our bodies what our heart really believes. We're getting close here. What's the number one fear, everybody? Fear? 41% of the respondents said they were afraid of. You know what it was? Public speaking. Oh, my goodness, that scares me to death. Does it you? If it's not your big deal, it's not that something you do all the time, maybe it does scare you. But in the big scheme of things, come on, be honest with me. I had a student in one of my classes in college, in a public speaking class, and she got so nervous, she wanted to say the word dissatisfied, and she couldn't think of it. She finally decided, after stumbling through so many choices, she said, a state of unsatisfiedness. Hey, that's just satisfaction, isn't it? So sometimes we do get a little bit nervous when we do public speaking, but in the big scheme of things, come on, is that your biggest fear? That may seem kind of small to you, but what are you facing today? I want to tell you that you don't have to have superhero faith. You do not have to rip off your shirt and have some special underwear underneath that says, superhero of faith. That's not required. And I know that because in Mark chapter 9, we're taught that all we have to do is muster all the faith we have, whatever it is, a little bit, a drop, a little bucket full, whatever it is, call upon God for his answer and strength. Because in Mark 9, there was a father that came to Jesus. And that father's little boy was dying. And Jesus looked at the dad and said, everything is possible to the one who believes. But that didn't end the story because the father cried out to Jesus, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Does that register with anybody? Lord, I do have faith, but there's times when I just don't seem to have enough. I do believe, but help my unbelief. And I'm so glad that God works that way. He doesn't judge me or he doesn't work with me based upon the faith that I don't have. He works with me based upon the faith that I do have. Maybe you need more faith. I'm the faith encourager. I'm the cheerleader for faith. Yeah, have some more. But don't wait to trust in God until you have all the faith that's necessary because you will never have it. Are you with me? God doesn't work with us on the faith that we don't have. He works with us on the faith we do have. I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. And so I want to encourage you today, when your faith and your fears are fighting back and forth, remember this little mictum out of Psalm 56. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. We've said it enough. Can you repeat it now? Let's say it. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. I want to challenge you to trust God through your fears, despite your fears, because we can trust him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this good group. I know they struggle at times, just like I do, with fears and faith wrestling inside of us. But I pray today, Father, that we might have enough courage that even though we don't have all the faith we'd like to have, we'll start with what we've got and say to God, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. When it doesn't make sense, when I wake up and all the problems aren't gone again, I'm still going to trust you, God, because I've got nowhere else to go. Nothing else is going to see me through. Only you, my God, can I trust to turn my fears into faith. Lord, don't let us down. We're trusting in you. Your word is a promise to us. Please don't forsake it. We depend upon you being true to your word and keeping your promise. We need it. And Father, in this room today, if there are people going through fears, I pray you'll give them the courage to come and let us pray with them, or see us later this week and deal with some of those fears and start on the path of gaining the faith they need to be victorious in their life in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, as we sing?